And for the rest of us that aren't dressed in pretty outfits, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. And many of us have heard the story at one place or another. I would venture to say, if not all of us, have heard the Easter story at least once. But have you ever thought? Have you ever wondered, what's the message that we can discover from the empty tomb? I mean, we talk about the cross, we talk about Jesus, we talk about a lot of things, but what is it the empty tomb has for us this morning? Today, where we stand, as we gather, because that's where I want us to focus this morning. So as we look to Matthew chapter 28, we find at the end of 27, Jesus has died on the cross, they've come and they placed him, his disciples have placed him in the tomb, and Mary and other disciples are watching, and then the various Jews are wondering what's going on, and so they're a little skeptical that someone might do something, so they talk to the Roman government. The Roman government puts soldiers there, and they seal the stone in front of the tomb to make sure that everything is protected. Well, as we enter into chapter 28, what we encounter is two ladies headed to the tomb on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. And it's not, they didn't wait till they had their morning cup of coffee or, you know, slept in that morning. No, they get up and it's dawn. It's the first of light. And they are coming to the tomb completely quite unprepared for what they might encounter. But that's not what Matthew says. We may think that way, you know, but as Matthew tells the story, we need to understand that these women are not just tag-along disciples. They're not just ones that just tend to hang around on the outsides and kind of pick and choose. No, these two women have been closely associated with Jesus and his ministry from the very beginning. From the very first days in Galilee, they have been following Jesus. And they have actively pursued the path of discipleship as Jesus has modeled it. And over the past two and three days, they have watched and been apart. And they watched, it says that they've watched the crucifixion. They've sat opposite of the tomb as Jesus' body was laid in it and the stone was rolled in front of it. They watched the guards come in and seal the tomb, and they've watched the guards stand there in front of it. And now they arrive as the day begins, headed toward the tomb. And Matthew's telling of the story is different from Mark and Luke, as we would read it. In those two gospels, the women are coming with spices to prepare Jesus' body because he wasn't buried quick enough. But in Matthew, that's not what it says. They're not coming to bring spices, but to see. It's a verb that not only means to perceive visually, but more importantly, it has this understanding of to gain understanding, because they remember what Jesus has taught. They remember what Jesus has said over and over again. So when they approach the tomb, it's with this sense of anticipation. As they approach the tomb, there's some expectation. And yet, they wonder. So they come to see. They knew Jesus, what he had said. They'd heard it on multiple occasions, but could it really be true? And so the first message we encounter from the tomb is this, that Jesus gives us comfort for our fear. In the midst of all the uncertainties, it's not difficult to understand why fear would have been felt. I mean, look at this. It's hard sometimes because we want to celebrate Easter, and yet we still live in Good Friday mode. We tend to just focus on the pain. We focus on the hurt. We focus on the depression of what we thought was supposed to be. We're looking for Jesus who's been crucified. And up to this point, all they know is he's dead. We saw him die. We saw him declare the words, "It is finished," and his body put in the tomb. And so as they walk to this tomb, there's moments of fear and apprehension and wonder. I mean, who would roll away the stone so we could look? What would we find? In fact, what are we going to tell the soldiers we know are guarding the tomb? There's so many different questions based on the fear and the unknown. And as they walk up to the tomb, it says that an earthquake happens. Matthew's the only one that records it this way. And then an angel comes down, heads to the tomb, moves the stone away, and plops himself on top of it. It's quite a visual picture. And his first words to them, as the soldiers pass out, says they were like dead men. "Don't be afraid." Soldiers who had faced battle and done all these things, they're passed out, but the women hear the message, "Do not be afraid." Now notice, the stone didn't need to be moved to let Jesus out. He's already resurrected. He's gone. The tomb is empty. It's rolled away so that they could look in and witness the tomb was empty. And so when the angel sits upon the stone, it's as if he's symbolizing God's conquest over all barriers of mankind. The stone is a physical barrier. The soldiers represent a political or a societal behavior. All of that doesn't stand a chance in the wake of God. But we're reminded here that even when you find it hard to celebrate Easter because of uncertainty, that with Jesus, a new day has begun. For the darkness of Friday has given birth to the new dawning of Sunday. And Jesus wants to give you and me courage as well. He wants to give us comfort where once fear stood. So the angel declares to us the message that we need to remind ourselves over and over again. He isn't here. He's been raised from the dead, just as he said it would happen. So come see where, past tense, his body was laid. Notice there's an exclamation mark here. This is good news. At the end of that three words, "He isn't here!" exclamation mark. Everything has changed. Just as the cross was a moment of time, this exclamation mark defines for us the moment where everything changes. Because if he just died on the cross, yeah, he was a good prophet, a good man of God. But the empty tomb symbolizes something totally different. The resurrection is a definer for us. It separates all of those would-be good philosophers and teachers and leaders from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God's promise can comfort us each time we stand before the empty tomb, because he is risen just as he said he would. Second message from the empty tomb for us is that God gives us grace to believe, because Jesus is the acceptable sacrifice. Romans 4 says this: he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, remember, whenever you see that word, you have to wonder, what's that therefore? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access to by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So when Jesus is handed over to the authorities, he is willingly giving himself. He doesn't fight it. He's laying his life down, knowing what's before him. He lays it down for you and for me, for our sins, so that we might be justified. If you're wondering what that means, well, in a judicial sense, it means acquittal. In a spiritual understanding, we look at it this way: our guilt has been removed and our broken relationship with God has been fully restored by God's act of love and free grace on our behalf. It's not about what we do, but what God has already done and continues to do for us. Ephesians 2 says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by our works, so that no one can boast. You see, it's not based or dependent upon our working, what we do, or even our worthiness. One writer said it this way: think about the ways in which we try to justify ourselves. We try to make our lives meaningful and acceptable, if not by good works, at least by hard work or by the acts that we think will win the approval of others. But the thing about God's grace is that we find through it an invitation to come and see. We get an invitation to come and see what a new life in Christ is like. There's nothing that you or I can do to justify it or earn it or work our way into it. It is freely given. All we have to do is receive it. It's only by the free gift of God's forgiveness of sins, by grace through faith in the meaning of the resurrection, that we get to have that gift and receive it. So we find comfort for our fear. We find grace to believe, but we also find strength to share. The angel continues, do not be afraid. Come and see. And now go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There's a sense of urgency here. Don't wait. Don't stop for coffee. Don't stop to change clothes because you needed to. No, get there. Jesus is going ahead. You need to tell the disciples. Don't wait. And now there's this unknown that has been replaced by hope and certainty of the future, because the thing is, now it's not of what are we going to do, but as Jesus is with us. Jesus is always with us. He's here forever. And at the same time, we're reminded that time is short, because no one knows when Jesus is coming. We need to be ready. Acts 17 says, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. The good news of Jesus, the good news of Easter, the good news of the empty tomb isn't just for us. It's for everyone. It's good news because Christ died not just for those who think they're worthy. Christ died for everyone, regardless of what we think. Christ died for us that we might receive the gift of life through him. And it's intended to be shared with everyone. The whole Christian faith rests on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead for everyone. And so we come here today and we celebrate this fact that we know the tomb was empty. There are no relics because Jesus left the tomb empty. He's fully resurrected from the grave. We're not here to have a memorial service for a great religious leader who was around 2,000 years ago. We're here to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is the alive and well and reigns as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why we're here. And this is the message we are gifted to continue to share. That Jesus is alive. He is risen. In Matthew 28, the disciples gather with Jesus in Galilee. And we find that he gives us the same instructions to them as are there for us today. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So the message of the tomb is not just comfort for fear or grace to believe or even strength to share. It's purpose to rejoice. We have been given a reason to celebrate. While the world says, woe is me, while the world is swamped in brokenness and despair, we have a different message of joy. It says, verse 8, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, a little freaked out, you might say, but, and there's a good but, also filled with great joy, and they rushed to find the disciples to give them the angel's message. And as they ran, Jesus showed up in their path. They encountered the risen Christ. They recognized him, and they fell to his feet and held him and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. We have a reason to rejoice in the risen Savior. We have a purpose because of his sacrifice. And his victory stands at the pinnacle of providing a way for each of us to experience new life. If only we believe that we could have a new hope. And to understand that we get to participate in the great resurrection one day when God will come through and restore all creation unto himself. Our purpose now, as we continue to celebrate in the year 2023 and beyond, is to remember that Easter isn't just a holiday. More importantly, it's an identity for each and every one of us. It's an everyday reality that we continue to inform that every aspect of our life with, that yes, as I go to school changed because the tomb is empty. As I go to work and I live differently because the tomb is empty. As I parent and I do things in my house with my family and my wife or my husband, we come and we do things differently than the world around us because of the hope and the message of the empty tomb. We are Easter people. And we aren't meant to just look back on Easter and say, well, that was good. Lenny sang that song. I got to eat some peeps. There's jelly beans and the cool things. And then we just move on with life. We are meant to be living into the power of the resurrection today, tomorrow, and on until Jesus comes. We're meant to live into and preach the power of the resurrection. We're meant to parent in the power of the resurrection. And we're to deal with all the situations that approach us in this life in the hope and power of the resurrection. We have a different view because today is an opportunity to declare the tomb is empty. He is risen. Our best days are in front of us. Because Easter isn't just a holiday on the calendar. It's our identity. And when we fully grasp that, and for some of us, we need to get it beyond just here and allow it to penetrate and conform us here. The joy would then be released into our life and into our world through each of our lives. Because joy is the result of fully understanding the resurrection and what it means in our life and to who we are. Easter is an ever-present reality. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No matter what we face today or tomorrow or the day after, we can sing, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Heavenly Father, we come today and we celebrate. We celebrate because no matter what the world thought they could do to you, no matter what mankind thought they had in control, you proved all wrong because the tomb is empty. You have risen just like you said you would. And when we fully understand that, when we grasp that, when we allow it into our lives and into our hearts, it penetrates us. And when we put our faith in it, we understand that we have hope. When all this world struggles with all the different things that are going on that are so depressing, we can understand them from a different perspective because we have hope and we understand that you are risen, that we can live differently, that we have a hope because we have been forgiven of our sin and we can experience life everlasting. And so, Lord, we come to you today and we thank you.